The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
These are the people, the movers and shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, it is time to talk trees. Greater Pitt Tree Service, our certified arborist is here, Troy Lampenfeld. And if you have any tree-related question, you need to give us a call. So, Troy, it's great to have you back. So, oak pruning, something that we talked with Carlos about last week, but 'tis the season, and this is the time of year to get it done. Talk about the significance of it and why it is so important during the fall season. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Lovely to be back. If Pittsburgh has anything in terms of resources when it comes to trees, it's a massive quantity of mature oak trees. We've got a lot of oak trees that were planted over 60, 70 years ago that are all throughout the city. And when you're taking care of those types of trees, you know, the mighty oak, oftentimes thought of as this big, you know, tough paragon of strength and all these things, it can be a little bit of a baby. You know, it can be a little bit sensitive, and you got to take care of these things. You do. Particularly, you know, people will often think that the best time to trim a tree is during the summer. You want to make sure, you know, people imagine that when it's hot outside, you go out and you can see the leaves and everything. But it's a lot of the times the exact opposite of that. You know, the best time that you can trim a tree, particularly an oak tree, is through the fall and the winter. So we start our oak pruning season usually around late November. It depends upon the weather for that year, but when the trees are dormant is when you want to get in on trimming. And what happens there is through the time that, you know, weather is hot and summer is in full swing, these trees have more active pests, they have more threats, and on top of that, basically, they are undergoing more stress throughout the year. So there's drought stress, which this year we've seen over 30 or 40 days of drought straight in a row. And we've just had a lot of problems with that in terms of managing tree health and everything. People are having a lot of issues that they've been calling us about. But when you're going into trim an oak tree, doing it during the fall or during the winter, make sure that the tree has, one, entered dormancy so that it's not actively growing and expending that energy on making new growth. So it has the resources to recover from any kind of pruning that we're doing to it. And then on top of that, it basically makes it so that any of those pests, whether it be insect pests or disease that are present during the summer season that are really threatening to it, are a little bit less prevalent during that time of year. So, you know, it's really not only the best time, it's the only time to trim oaks. And around town, we are just about the best people really to do that in terms of capability, in terms of experience, certainly, and in terms of just general know-how in terms of, how to make proper cuts on a tree, how to make sure that any kind of cut that you're making or any kind of alteration that you're making to the tree is, it's best practice as opposed to just going up there and kind of swinging for the fences. Being informed on something like this can be the difference between having a tree come out healthier and happier after a pruning or come out ready to come down in a couple of years if you pick the wrong people. It's important. Quality really matters on this type of stuff, Rob.
All right, we're going to be talking about soil care and root collar evacuations on mature trees and more, but oak pruning, one of the main topics today. But if you have anything about your trees you need answered in real time, it's a free call. Just 866-391-1020. We'll give you some great advice. All of our lines are open. Troy Lampenfeld is here. Greater Pitt Tree Service in their regular time slot every other Sunday at 9 o'clock. And if you want to reach them, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. One of the things that I've learned in the time that you and me and Carlos have been together, these trees do withstand the test of time, and they are strong, and when they're healthy, they can live for many years. But there are certain times of the year that you have to give them some TLC if you want to have them long-term. So, you know, somebody may think, pruning, okay, I'll hold off or I'll do it here or there. But this is something that you really need to talk about and really consider getting done. And this falls into your plant care, tree care, what you do for people by getting them on the list, getting them signed up to the program. So you can keep an eye on this stuff with routine visits, and then they're going to know exactly when the time has arrived for something like oak tree pruning. Go ahead, Troy.
Yeah, so we do a lot of monitoring programs for people. If you have, you know, especially if you have a larger landscape with a lot of different mature trees on it, I'll be out on landscapes just to check things out every once in a while. And we do estimates for free. But basically just making sure that you're on top of everything. It can be tricky if you have a lot of different things on your landscape that you're not necessarily familiar with or an expert in. So calling us out there just gives you a better understanding of the home field that you're playing on. You know, so when we're looking at trying to maintain these mature trees, now is a great time of year, not only for pruning and for making sure that, you know, these trees have everything they need in terms of removal of dead wood and in terms of structural growth correction, things like that, clearance from homes and power lines to make sure they're safe, you know, making sure that they have the least chance of breakage from storm damage and everything like that. When we're looking at pruning, those are the things that we're concerned about. When we're looking at the health of the tree in particular and making sure that the tree is generally in good shape so that it can maintain that structural integrity and stay safe over the long term, what we're looking at really is, one, a good fertilization plan that keeps you know, the soil generally packed with nutrition when it's in pretty decent shape to begin with. But especially in cases in the city, when your soil is a little bit you know, stressed out basically from all the things that urban life brings to it. One, it's too compacted. You know, we drive large machinery over top of it all the time. We're walking over it all the time. It was probably had some fill in it during construction on the lot when the tree was planted. It makes it so that the root system of that tree has a difficult time breaking through that tough soil structure and expanding its roots through that area. So one thing that can really be beneficial for that is that root collar excavation and soil decompaction that we do to basically maintain the soil health around a tree. And we do these all the time. It's just about, from my perspective, the go-to treatment to make sure that a tree has a better place to live, a better healthy ecosystem basically in the soil beneath it, and make sure that, you know, the 50% plus of living tissue on the tree that resides underground has enough resources in the food bank, basically, not necessarily food because, you know, food energy comes from the leaves, but nutrient and resource bank in the ground there doesn't run dry during a season, you know, where this tree is trying to maintain storages of starches and energy and everything like that. So what we do is we break up all that soil underneath the tree, all that stuff that's heavily compacted, and we do that in a way that's very industry specific. We use what's called an air spade. It uses supersonic air basically to blast apart all of the dirt down there without damaging any of those roots so that the tree can maintain its structural stability and its health and everything like that. But we can alter that soil chemistry and that physical compaction and makeup of the soil. So when we're doing that, we take the air spade in there and we till up the top 8 inches of soil with the air spade, which is a very specific technique. You got to make sure that you're doing it right. And when that happens, we then take away a lot of, especially if there's grass around the tree, anything like that, install a mulch ring around the tree in a light way that is reasonable and keeps the tree in good shape rather than over mulching. And we also institute a lot of organic compost and biochar into there to make sure that the tree has, one, as many, you know, nutrient-rich organic material elements in there as possible, and two, that it has proper pH in that soil so that the tree basically has a chance from a chemical perspective to maintain a balance that it's happy with without having to fight that all the time. So there's a lot of things that, you know, you look at a tree and sometimes it feels really simple, feels like something that's just out in the yard. It's a living organism, and, you know, if you don't take care of it, it's not going to take care of itself. It's hard, but that's what we're here for. That's what we go to help people out with. I go to properties all the time just to give people advice and get them, you know, treatments that can be really beneficial for their trees so that they don't have to undergo, you know, removals of trees that they want to keep around, that add value to the property, all these different things. You know, trees are a beneficial thing for us in more ways than one. And when we're looking at you know, the urban forest in general and trees, whether it be in people's yards or the city street or parks or anything like that, the more trees that we can keep around and the more trees that we can keep healthy, one, the safer everybody is, and two, the healthier and happier our city is. And we're a local company, and, you know, we're invested in the health and the welfare of our city in general. We take a lot of pride in that.
All right, let me get a break in here. We'll come back on the other side. If you have any tree-related questions, now is the time to call. We do have an instant access message for Troy, but our phone lines are wide open. We're talking oak tree, a pruning today, and other topics, but whatever is on your mind, we would love to help you with that. 866-391-1020. He's Troy Lampenfeld, certified arborist, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Pet Fest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, and join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Donation at the door benefits the Salvation Army. Pet Fest is brought to you by Bully Max Dog Food and Forever Lawn. For more information, go to kdkradio.com.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
Back, Greater Pitt Tree Service, Carlos McClintock enjoying the day off. But here with us today, the incredible talent of Troy Lampenfeld, their certified arborist. You can reach them at 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. And you can get all of those tree-related questions answered for free, and a free call, too. It's toll-free. Call us at 866-391-1020. So we've been talking about oak pruning today. And just in case, you know, they call you and you show up, different types and verbiage that is going to be used. So I thought we would do a little class 101 here today, Troy, to kind of explain some of the various aspects of pruning. So what is crown cleaning when it comes to pruning? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so when we're talking about crown cleaning, a lot of what we're going in to do in there is basically take out anything that, one, could be an easy inroad for insects and disease that could cause the tree problems in the future, and two, take out anything that potentially could be structurally, let's say, compromising in the future after a little bit of growth. So when we're looking at inroads for insects and disease, we're looking at limbs that could potentially fall victim to storm damage based upon excessive weight on the ends or something like that, maybe excessive exposure to wind. And then we're also looking at any kind of deadwood that's been naturally developed over the course of, you know, the past couple of years since you've had the tree trimmed. Could be three, could be, depending on how you had the tree trimmed last, could be up to five or seven is what you get out of our trimmings typically. But when you're looking at that type of stuff, crown cleaning specifically, you want to make sure that you get all the accessible deadwood out of there that it could basically lead to any kind of open wounding on the trunk that could potentially cause the tree problems in the future. So when you do that, you make the tree a little bit happier in terms of longevity. You give it a little bit of a better chance to have natural growth that doesn't splinter off and potentially cause wounds on the trunk that leave inroads to problems that can cause, you know, dieback and death of the entire tree if you're not careful about it and you're not on top of treatments and everything like that. And then when we're looking at anything from a structural perspective, we're looking at branches that are crossing over and that are eventually going to grow together and form a weakened attachment. We're looking at potential codominant stems. And when you talk about a codominant stem, that's two main stems or trunks that are extending through the center of the tree that can cause what's called included bark. When you have a union in the center of the tree that has a way, way weaker attachment than it normally would. And when we look at something like that, we typically either look at if we're early enough pruning and taking that portion out, or just what risk management looks like on a tree like that. So a lot of this type of stuff when you're talking about crown cleaning is just general maintenance that you have to keep up with on the tree, because trees that are exposed in yards like this, they don't grow the same way as a tree in the forest, right? A tree in the forest is going to grow as tall and as straight as possible most of the time to get the accessible light at the top of the canopy to shoot out from all the other trees that are in that area. In a yard, there's no competition. You know, there's not from a light perspective anyhow. These trees are going to be just about as wide as they can be, and they're going to shoot off as many leaves as they can most of the time. And On top of that, when trees are stressed, they're putting out even more branches called epicormic growth, a little bit of stress response, basically. And when that happens, these limbs can grow in bundles along the trunk that don't necessarily have the best structural positions on the tree and can eventually lead to overweighting and then wounding of the trunk wood. So depending on where, you know, these types of things occur, you have to make an informed decision as to what leaves are, you know, they're paying their taxes, they're doing their good for the tree, they're bringing in photosynthesis and sugars and everything like that from sunlight, and then look at material that doesn't necessarily need to be on there, and make those informed decisions to get a canopy that seems like it's going to have the best position from a longevity perspective to keep that tree up and healthy and safe for a long term.
All right, let's get to the phones. Let's say hi to anybody that has a tree-related question. Great time to call, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Before we get to Sandy's call, though, I just want to remind everyone, if you would like to get a hold of the folks at Greater Pitt Tree Service, very easy to do so. You can call 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE, and they will get back to you. But if you have a tree-related question and you want to spend some time with us today, give us a call. That number is 866-391-1020. Okay, Sandy, what's your question for Troy? Go ahead.
Hi, Troy. I have a crimson King Norway maple, and for the it's 38 years old. And for the past 3 seasons, it has lost its leaves very early and is not producing as many leaves with each year in the past 3 years. And all of the, these types of trees around my area are doing the same thing.
And can I take a guess on how that's happening, Sandy?
Do I know why?
Is that happening? Yeah, is that happening through the center of the tree? Basically, the leaves at the top and through the middle of the tree are starting to die back a little bit earlier and starting to produce less leaves. You know,
I see
this all the time.
Yes. Definitely the top.
Yeah. We see this all the time with Crimson King maples. And the reason you're seeing it on all the trees in your area right now is because, you know, that tree was planted around 30 years ago, 38 years ago, that you said, right? A lot of those other trees that are in the area were probably planted at relatively similar times. They're probably younger trees and everything like that. But those Crimson King maples, after a certain point, depending on how they were planted and depending on how they were grown in the nursery, those trees are genetically very predisposed to what's called girdling or disfigured root systems. And so what happens there is when a tree is held in a nursery, either in a container or balled in burlap or however they have it maintained, if you've ever had a houseplant inside and you've seen the tree become, or the plant become root bound and grow in a circle around that container, the roots of those trees will often grow in a circle around those containers that they're kept in the nursery. And that's not necessarily a huge problem when the trees are very young and the roots are all very fine and small. But once you plant that in the ground and that compacted soil around the edges of that tree make it so that those roots are already, for one thing, going in a circle, but then can't pierce that exterior portion past where the tree was planted, they continue to grow in that circle through the soil directly beneath them, and they start to eventually kind of strangle themselves out, basically, because they increase in width. And when they increase in width, they start to grow together with the trunk and together with other root systems, which can change the way that the vascular system of the tree works.
All right, listen, I got to get to a break, Sandy. Thank you for the call. We've got Alan Butler. We'll get to him next. Troy Lampenfeld is my guest. This is Greater Pitt Tree Service, their hour until 10 o'clock. Again, if you would want to get a hold of them, you can call today, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. But if you want to get those tree-related questions answered right now, call us, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
Troy Lampenfeld, our certified arborist, Greater Pitt Tree Service, is hosting today, and it is until 10 o'clock, our show. So if you have a tree-related question, give us a call, 866-391-1020. Al in Butler. Al, you are on KDKA with Troy Lampenfeld from Greater Pitt Tree Service. Good morning.
Looking to plant Alaska weeping cedar in an area that's known to have moles and or voles, and wanted some tips on the installation of root guard for the planting of that type of tree.
Yeah, okay, so Alaskan weeping cedars are a pretty interesting tree. They're a beautiful thing. One thing that I know they struggle with once they're established is cankers, so they'll have some issues with fungal infection. So you do have to watch out for that once they're established. But when you're looking at planting, you're saying there's problems with both mold and voles. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Certainly have moles. I'm not certain if there are voles present, but I know voles are the ones that get after the roots and actually eat roots. Moles, not so much, but they do disturb roots in their digging. But to prevent whatever might be there, I understand you can put basically a heavy-duty, not chicken wire, but like quarter-inch square wire mesh around a certain diameter from the center of the tree that would just keep them from even having a chance to get at roots.
Yeah, so this is an option that a lot of people will take. You'll have one thing you want to watch out for there is you don't want to put any kind of wiring too close to the base of the tree. So you don't want to put it around the trunk at all, because if the tree ends up rubbing against that and you get wounding on the trunk right near the base of the tree, that's the worst thing that can really happen on something like this. So what you'll get if you do kind of a wire mesh grid around the base of the tree, in the same way that a mulching would be around the root system of a newly planted tree, is the voles or moles will not be able to dig directly at the root system, but obviously you're not going to be able to stop them from coming in around, you know, the side or anything like that, digging in and then burrowing towards that area. If you wanted to put root barriers or something like that in there, you could do that and then take them out once the tree is more established. But I would say the best thing that you can do for this is just making sure that you're practicing basically proper planting so that the tree has a good way to have just good vitality in general. That mesh will probably be a good call, just so that the mole isn't making, you know, a home right there and you don't get unlucky on that. But when you're looking at planting it, just make sure that you're not basically sideswiping the sides of the hole. Make sure that it's not a smooth surface on the side of the hole when you plant the tree, because when you do that, that makes it so it's difficult for those roots to start growing. Makes, you know, that soil compaction, like I was talking about earlier, basically makes it so those roots get trapped for a while. And when that happens, they don't have as much vigorous growth, and the tree just doesn't have as many resources to defend against those types of issues if they take a bite out of the roots or something like that, which ultimately you're not going to be able to stop forever. If that happens, the best thing that you can do is make sure that the tree has the resources to defend against it once that does happen, so that it can regrow roots, so that it can fend off disease and things like that. That's my advice to you. So make sure that the tree has proper mulching, not too deep, because the moles will make a home in there. And then that wire mesh cage is probably not a bad idea. Just make sure that it's not directly up against the trunk of the tree, because that will cause you more problems than it'll help you with.
Thank you.
All right, great call.
Right.
Thank you.
Very much.
Wonderful call. 412-884-TREE. If you'd like to reach Emigrator Pit Tree Service, if you have a tree-related question, you can give us a call right now. Troy is with us till 10 o'clock, 866-391-1020. So we've been talking all about spotter and lantern flies, but there are other things out there. You've got bagworm, you've got scale, you've got wilt. Some of the things to look for that they need to make a call right away. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you're seeing bagworms, specifically people see a lot of bagworms on arborvitae trees, and what that looks like this time of year, it's easier to see this time of year because arborvitae trees are, you know, they're evergreen, they're going to be out there green, and you'll see little brown, basically little brown bags hanging off of the branches of the tree, and bagworms are going to be really problematic for that tree. They're going to defoliate it, and you're going to lose what is likely, you know, a lovely tree and possibly a lovely privacy screen for your home. So treating those for bagworms is very important, and we do that all the time. I have a couple of customers that get really great results with that. And what we do is, on occasion, we'll do a below-ground soil treatment for that. But what we start with is just taking all of those bagworms off of there. We try to go with as minimal any kind of chemical resources as we can. So we pick all those bagworms directly off of there and then later on do a treatment to make sure they don't come back. But on top of that, you'll have a lot of things. We treated a lot of trees for magnolia scale this year. Magnolia scale can be a really, really tricky pest to deal with. It comes back year over year, so you got to stay on top of treatments and make sure that it's not, something that's going to drain the tree of its life. You have wilt, like we were talking about. That's really one of the main reasons that you have to make sure this oak pruning season is kind of kept to. Because if you do end up cutting an oak tree during the summer, there are different types of boring beetles that are more attracted to the tree and more active during the summertime, and different types of fungus that can be available through the water table and through root grafting that can cause problems that lead to oak wilt. And oak wilt is a disease that on a mature oak tree, especially a mature oak tree in the red oak family, so pin oaks, anything like that, is going to be basically unable to be saved if it wasn't treated preventatively. So one thing we do offer also is we offer treatments for oak wilt to make sure that, you know, during that summer, if you have storm damage on that tree, or if you have a couple of things that look a little out of whack on the tree and you think you might be, susceptible to oak wilt with this massive oak tree, you can take a very affordable route to preventing that kind of issue that can not only lose you your tree, but also cost you a pretty penny in terms of removal, depending on how big that tree is. So that preventative care does end up paying off in a lot of different ways, but oak wilt can be one of the biggest problems that we see. I think I've seen a couple of trees around the area this year go from it already. I'd like to make sure we don't have any more if we can. So I like to do treatments when we have the opportunity to on that type of stuff.
All right. Any questions? Any questions for Troy Lampenfeld, give him a call. It's 866-391-1020. And also, you can reach them at 412-884-TREE. Now, look, I'm a little older than you, obviously, but when I was a kid growing up this time of year, Troy, we loved crab apples in the neighborhood for a number of reasons. And we even had a few mothers and grandmothers that would slice them and dice them, put a little sugar, maybe actually put it into a pie crust. So this is the first time I've ever heard about apple scab, and I was doing a little research on it knowing you were coming on today, because this is the time of year, man, we'd be coming home from school or out playing when the nights were starting to get longer. You would start to get that pillowcase and grab as many of these crab apples that you could. So talk to me about how apple scab is a fungus that actually attacks both wild and cultivated apple and, of course, crab apple trees. What is apple scab?
Yeah, so apple scab is basically a fungal disease that will not only damage the way that the apples come out off of the tree, it'll put, brown spotting all over the apples. A lot of people imagine that it's all wormholes or something like that, but a lot of these apples become basically unusable due to apple scab. They get this brown spotting on them. A lot of the time they'll rot out earlier, but that's not really the more serious issue with apple scab. The more serious issue is that it also attacks the leaves of the trees. And like you said, Rob, I'm glad you're doing your research. I love it. Basically, on the leaves of the tree, it can make it so that these leaves fall off earlier in the season and the tree has access to less sunlight throughout the year. So when you have apple scab on a tree and it falls off earlier through the year and you lose these leaves, the tree has less resources through that year. And over a couple of years of severe defoliation from apple scab, because this fungus is causing that early leaf drop and stress throughout the tree, you can end up losing a lot of branches and end up losing the tree in general. So what we do to treat apple scab is we basically manage that fungal infection early in the spring, but we do most of our sales for apple scab going out and, in investigating and making sure that we know what's going on, making sure we know that apple scab is present, and then prescribing treatment for the spring. We do a lot of that right now. So if I'm seeing an apple tree with basically no leaves left on it, or at very least it's very sparse already before, it should be around the time of year where everything else has lost its leaves altogether, you're probably looking at a tree that has apple scab at least to some extent, especially if you're seeing brown spotting all over the leaves. And if you see any of that, giving us a call can save that tree in the long run for you. It can. Doing yearly treatments on something like that is very important to make sure those trees are healthy and maintained for the long run, and especially on older apple trees, because it takes a good long while to get them very, very tall crab apples, get them, in a place where they add so much value to the property based on those beautiful flowers they have in the spring. You got to make sure that you're taking care of them so that they can keep taking care of you in that way.
All right, great stuff. Troy Lampenfeld is here. It is Greater Pitt Tree Service. One more segment, a lot of good calls already, but there's time for a few more. So if you have any tree-related question, don't put it off. They'll be back in 2 weeks, but you need to call right now, 866-391-1020, or call them at 412-884-TREE. Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Back with more in a moment. It's your Pratt Pack on KDKA.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDK.
A little over 6 minutes or so left in the show. So if you have a tree-related question, we'd love to hear from you. My guest, Troy Lampenfeld. It is that regular time slot every other Sunday from 9 to 10 for Greater Pitt Tree Service. 412-884-TREE is how you can reach them. All right, Troy, you know, even though we've gotten a little bit of rain, we're still kind of in that drought mode. So everybody's wondering about care tips when it comes to watering trees. So what's the rule of thumb when it comes to proper watering of trees? Go ahead.
So, Robert, a lot of people will have issues with drought, not only from underwatering and inability for the tree to get enough water, but when we do have a drought, people will take the wrong tact in terms of watering, then end up drowning their tree, actually, and causing root rot, basically. So what you want to do there is you want to make sure that if we're in a period of drought, especially if we're in a period of drought, but sometimes even if we're not, a good rule of thumb is around once a week, going out there and saturating the soil pretty heavily around the base of the tree. The larger the tree is, usually the more water you want to put on there. And you want to use a little bit of intuition here. If you go outside and you go up to your tree and at the base of the tree, you can put your finger into the soil and check it out. Basically, you want to make sure that that soil is not dry and crumbling, but that it's a little bit moist and it's soft to the touch, and you can work around with it basically a little bit. If that soil is dry, get over there and put some water on it for around 10, 15 minutes with a hose once a week, no more than that. If you're going out there and watering a little bit every day, what you're actually encouraging is for that tree to grow extremely shallow roots, because the amount of water that's on the soil is usually absorbed by the grass on the top. And then when you do end up having those roots respond to that watering that you're doing every day, they're coming up for the little bit that's left over after that watering is done. So you want to make sure that you water the roots extremely deeply to encourage deep root growth. And you want to do that around once a week, no more, probably no less, if you're in a period of drought. But a lot of trees basically are stressed from drought, not only because of watering tactics, but also because the soil around them is not holding enough water from compaction, from urban tree stress, which is something that basically every tree that you're going to see in a yard or in a street tree or anything like that is going to be experiencing. And the way that we treat that, and the best way to treat it, period, is with our root zone rejuvenation program. And what that is, it's a root collar excavation, just like we were talking about earlier with that air spade work, that tilling in of organic compost, of biochar, of plant growth regulator on occasion to make sure that the tree has a thick waxy cuticle on the outside of the leaves that can maintain all the moisture inside the tree so that it doesn't lose so much from being surrounded by concrete all the time and experience an excessive heat. So there's a lot of things that you can do to actually mitigate the amount that your tree needs, you know, necessarily watered every week or so, just by taking care of the soil underneath the tree and making sure that that soil can do its job a little bit better and that tree can have a more natural ecosystem like it would experience in a forest. There's a lot we can do, Rob. If you have us out to your property, if you call our number, 412-884-TREE, I can come out there and I can check out your property, get you a soil test if you need it, to see what we can do to make sure that your trees are as healthy as possible.
All right, just a couple minutes left in the show. We got lots of folks that want to talk, but I'm going to have time for one more call. Let's go to Morgantown. Rick, you're on KDK with Troy Lampenfeld, Greater Pitt Tree Service. We have just a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Rob, for what you do, by the way. I had an oak tree, large oak tree, cut down because it was dead. And the tree cutters climbed the tree next to it in the process of cutting it down. And apparently because they spiked the good tree, they killed the good tree next.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my question is, an arborist told me that these oak trees communicate with each other through the root system. And now I'm worried about, this is a very wooded area. that other oak trees might catch whatever this disease was that killed both trees. Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. So, I mean, when you're looking at climbing trees, if you hired somebody that ended up spiking a live oak tree during the summer, that's going to be something that's pretty problematic. That's definitely a very common case for a contraction of oak wilt. And when oak wilt occurs in one tree, any tree that has roots grafted to it underground, and for reference, the roots on a tree can extend up to 2 to 3 times the longest branch on that tree. So think about how far those can be. You know, any tree within 100 yards, 50, 100 yards or so, depending on the type of tree and the size of it, could potentially have grafted roots with that other tree where that fungus is going to spread to eventually cause problems. This is something where if it was oak wilt, and I can't tell based on just what you're saying, but if the arborist that you had out to your property said that it was potentially oak wilt, I would say you need to get treatment on those trees to make sure that if you have other oaks in the property, you're not having oak wilt spread through the water table and through root grafting, because then you can be looking at taking down a number of oaks and causing, you know, having kind of an ecological problem from the perspective of just losing a lot of trees in that.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen. Listen, Rick, I'm out of time. Thank you. Troy, I'm out of time. Guys, great job today. Let me remind you, if you want to reach them, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE. Troy, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll do it again real soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it. You have a great day, all right? Have a good weekend.
All right, there you go. Troy Lampenfeld, 412-884-TREE, back with us in 2 weeks. In the meantime, stay tuned for the news at 10, and then Accurate Solutions and the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show.
The proceeding was paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.